ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवैष्णीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्बत्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः वर्स् 13 अद्वेष्टा सर्वभूतानां मैत्रः करुण एव च निर्ममो निरहङ्कारः समदुःखसुखः क्षमी सन्तुष्टः सततं योगी यतात्मा दृढनिश्चयः मय्यर्पितमनो बुद्धिः यो मद्भक्तः स मे प्रियः यस्मान्नो द्विजते लोकः लोकान्नो द्विजते चयः हर्षामर्षभयोद्वेगैः मुक्तो यः स च मे प्रियः अनपेक्षस्युचिर्दक्षः उदासीनो गतव्यसः सर्वारम्भपरित्यागी यो मद्भक्तः स मे प्रियः अनपेक्षः शुचिः दक्षः अनपेक्षः वन् इस् फ्री फ्रोम् अपेक्षा अपेक्षा मीन्स् एक्स्पेक्टेशन् वन् इस् फ्री फ्रोम् एनी कैण्ड् आफ् एक्स्पेक्टेशन् An expectation from anybody or anything reflects our dependence, and expectation reveals a certain need on our part. When one is needy, naturally, one is dependent upon whoever will fulfill that need. So an expectation, demand, desire, all of this shows a neediness on my part. A wise person, a bhakta, is not needy anymore, because he knows himself as Ishvara, as complete. He knows everything also as complete, he knows himself also as complete, and therefore, naturally, there is no occasion for any need. In that sense, he is free from any expectation, free from any demand. He does not make any demand upon anybody. When we have an expectation from somebody, in a way we are making a demand upon that person. Expectation means not accepting things as they are. When I have an expectation of you, meaning that I do not accept you as you are, and I wish that you would change to suit me. So usually we demand changes around ourselves, that the world around ourselves should change in order to suit us, so that we are comfortable with ourselves. The basic need on our part is to be comfortable with ourselves. When I do not find myself comfortable with myself, when there is discomfort within me, with myself, then I look out, seeking comfort. And that's how I have an expectation or demand from others, that they should reorient themselves, they should change themselves, they should conduct themselves in such a manner that I am comfortable, you should make me comfortable with myself. It's a basic demand we have. And therefore in all relationships, expectations are involved. In relationships, expectations are involved. And there is an expectation that you should understand me. You should understand my need. And you should conduct yourself in such a manner as to fulfill my need. So expectation arises from an inner need, inner inadequacy, inner discomfort with the self. Anapekshaha, one who is comfortable with himself. Having recognized that I am Brahman, I am limitless, I am complete, I am whole, in recognition of the reality. It is not becoming complete, it is recognizing that I am complete. And then there is a total comfort with oneself. That being the case, there is no need for making me comfortable. That being the case, the wise person accepts, respects, loves everything as it is. Makes no demand, because he is free from all needs. Anapeksha. To such an extent, as we said last time, as Shankaracharya says, Dehendriya vishaya sambandhadishu apeksha vishayashu anapekshaha. With our body, sense organs, with our relatives, there is usual expectation of these things, at least, you know. Some expectation of my body, from my personality, from people related to me, natural expectation. Apeksha vishayashu. Usually one is dependent upon them for his well-being. Even from them also, there is no expectation. Many does not expect his body also to be such and such for him to be comfortable. You know, imagine this. Not that he neglects his body, but at the same time, his comfort does not depend upon well-being of anything else. His comfort with himself does not depend upon other people's conduct. His comfort with himself does not depend upon his well-being of the body. Imagine. His mind, of course, his mind is always good. Because the condition of, or disposition of mind is under our control. That's the whole idea of what we call the spiritual seeking, is to transform our mind into one that is free from expectation or demand. But the body is not in our control. Body is under control of the prarabdha destiny. And so there cannot be a guarantee that body will always be conducive. That also, he does not expect a body also to support him for his comfort. Dehendriya vishaya sambandhadishu. Then what you talk of the people around him, related to him? Meaning that he is happy with the way they are. He is happy with the way the body is. He is happy with the way things are. Wise people do not sometimes even take the initiative to change their body. Like Ramana Maharshi and the other people, they thought that Ramana Maharshi could cure the disease of some other people. How come you don't care about diseases? No, I do not want to come in the way of prarabdha. Let it work itself out. So this is extreme, that even discomfort of the body also does not make you uncomfortable. Anapeksha, nispraha, free from all spruha, all expectation. This is a wonderful thing. If we look at our own mind, we'll see how expectations or desires are there. See something good in the mind, say, this is a nice thing. Nice if I had it. Somebody has a car, nice if I had a car like this, a house like this, dress like this, thing like this. This kind of response is automatically, they may come and go away, but this kind of, responses do come from the mind. Look at somebody or that has something, no spruha at all. So, because looking at anything, doesn't want to possess anything. Does not need to possess anything to be happy. Does not need to possess anything to feel comfortable. Does not need anything to entertain him. So I need things to make me feel secure. I need things to make me feel comfortable. I need things to entertain me. I need things to make me secure or safe. No expectation of security or safety. No expectation of something to entertain him. No expectation of something to comfort him. Because he is comfortable with himself, secure with himself. It's a wonderful thing, worthwhile meditating upon. What state of mind would it be when there is a total comfort with oneself and comfort with everything as it is? That the mind just does not make any demand. Mind doesn't get attracted to anything. Not that he is aversion finding either, but then doesn't get attracted to anything as though that would add to my happiness or security. Anapekshaha shuchihi. Who is clean? Shuchi can be clean or pure. So cleanliness is one thing, purity is another thing. And what the scriptures generally desire is purity. A thing can be clean, a water can be clean, but Ganges water is said to be sacred, purity. Pure or is sanctity. So purity or sanctity. Shuchi, one whose mind is pure, one whose mind enjoys the sanctity. And that which also makes other things pure. So a great value for purity. Purity of our intentions. Let our intentions be pure. Let our mind be transparent. Very often, we come across one way and our intentions are different. I may come across a very friendly person. Inwardly, I may not care for the person towards whom I am showing friendliness. We write dear so and so, which may or may not be the reality. And so a lot of things we do outwardly. But that's the way to do things. That's how people expect us to conduct ourselves. And so we do that, but then that is not necessarily the case in our mind. Our intentions are not necessarily pure or honest. honesty of intentions, purity of intentions, purity of thoughts. And this has been talked about on many occasions. Thoughts such as jealousy, it is not a pure thought. Such as anger, resentment, aversion. These are, when any of this thought arises in my mind becomes disturbed. So anything that disturbs the mind, you can call it an impure thought. So shuchihi, such thoughts do not arise in the mind of this person. In the mind of the wise person, this jealousy does not arise. Resentment does not arise. Aversion does not arise. There is no need for him to be dishonest at all. It's totally transparent. So nishkapata, free from all wheeling and dealing. So this person is, that is called purity, purity of the mind, purity of the thoughts, purity of the intentions. This is something which is natural for the wise person. Why natural? Because he sees himself as complete, he sees everybody and everything also as complete. What is the Ishvara? What is the manifestation of divine? What is the manifestation of completeness? That being the case, there is nothing to lose, nothing to save. We become dishonest when there is something to lose, something to gain. So I don't want to lose something, but I want to gain something. And if I cannot accomplish the fair means, then in my mind it's possible that I may think of means which are not fair. I want to be accepted by the world, and then I want to appear acceptable. Because acceptance of the world is important to me, approval of the world is important to me, and therefore I conduct myself in such a manner that world will accept me, approve me. So I keep my intentions to myself. I know that if I am honest and declare my intention, then they are going to reject me, they are going to like me. And that they do not reject me, that they like me is very important for me to feel good about myself. So dependent we are. Inasmuch as we are not able to feel good about our own self, therefore the needs for getting other people's acceptance, other people's approval. Then I think that I must be acceptable. When the world accepts me, I think that I must be acceptable. When the world approves of me, I think I must be approvable. And then I approve myself. So this kind of complex is why a person doesn't have, whose true self is evident to him, that I am a whole, complete being. And that what is the manifestation of the wholeness. And therefore, in the mind of such a person, the discomfort is not there with oneself. So expectation is not there. And he has no shame about himself. Therefore, no difficulty, no hesitation in revealing himself as he is. He is pure. For a person, this is the natural thing for a wise person. For a seeker, this becomes a value. Purity of thoughts becomes a value. It is said in case of the wise person, an impure thought will not arise. In our case, impure thoughts do arise. Jealousy arises. Sometimes hatred also arises. Sometimes aversion arises. Sometimes anger arises. That's okay. It arises because of past karma. We do not have control over the thought that arises in our mind. Thought arises because samskaras, all those tendencies are built in there because of past karma or whatever. Therefore, thoughts arise. We need not blame ourselves or punish ourselves for any so-called bad thought. I need not take the ownership of a thought, or I need not judge myself based on a thought. Where the free will comes into play is, what do I do with the thought? That is where we have to exercise our free will. Whether should I justify the thought? If the thought of anger arises in my mind, very often I justify it. Yes, he deserves it, isn't it? So I get worked up on that. Usually I justify my anger, resentment, jealousy. Meaning that we give reality to that thought, we get identified with the thought, that there is no reason for us to do. Some people blame themselves, Swamiji, I am no good because these bad thoughts arise in my mind. Don't judge yourself based on your thoughts. If you won't judge yourself based on what you do with the thoughts, that's when a thought arises, we should neutralize it by our familiar method of pratipaksha bhavana. Take time there and then. Don't postpone it. When a thought arises, number one, that you consider as bad or undesirable, then become alert. Create a distance. That's a thought, that's not I. But don't stop there. We wish that this thought should not arise. Therefore, that thought should be neutralized. The thought of jealousy has arisen because of a certain standpoint. I look at the achievement of somebody from a given standpoint, and I feel jealous because the person managed to achieve more than I did. He managed to get more than what I did, and that's how I feel jealous. So his happiness becomes my unhappiness, you know. That person's happiness becomes my unhappiness. That's amazing. Our Swami says, this jealousy is one thing for which there is no reason at all. Somebody has gained something, achieved something. Why should I feel bad about it? But then I judge myself based on that person because it is the nature of a human being to compare himself or herself with others. And in order for me to feel good about myself, it's necessary that I should be better than others. This is my need. And therefore, one way or the other, I try to prove my superiority over others. See all arguments and discussions that take place among people, even among friends also. Always an attempt to assert that I am better than you. I know more than you. I am smarter than you. This comes from a need. A need that I should be better than, then only I am good. I make a demand upon myself. I make a demand upon myself that I must be better than somebody else, then only I can accept myself. I cannot accept myself as I am. I must be smart. I must be intelligent. I must be efficient. I must be accomplished. This is my expectation of myself. How do I measure accomplishment? How do I measure efficiency? How do I measure smartness or knowledgeability? By comparing with others. If I am more knowledgeable than somebody else, then I am knowledgeable, not otherwise. If I am more accomplished than others, then I am accomplished, not otherwise. This is an unfortunate thing. But this is a kind, look at this, how much we are burdening ourselves with all kinds of, so I am the greatest basher of myself, you know. So, this bashing is going on of, you know, sometimes politician bashing, this bashing. But before that, self-bashing. Constantly going on. Demand upon myself as to how I should be. I am always quick to judge myself as inadequate. I reject myself and become unhappy with myself. Thus my need to be comfortable with myself, I have already determine some criterion as to when I can accept myself, when I am better than others. There is no need for that criterion. So jealousy arises from my non-acceptance of myself. That person's achievement presses some nerve here, some button, and makes me see myself in my own perception, makes me appear as inadequate. See, that person achieved, I did not achieve. Therefore, I am inadequate, I am no good. So there arises a pain. That pain is because of with my own self. But then, that result reflects into jealousy towards that person. So his happiness becomes my unhappiness. When that happens, there is jealousy. So what is pratipaksha bhavana? His happiness should become my happiness. If jealousy is result of my being unhappy because of that person's happiness, the pratipaksha bhavana is his happiness should become my happiness. Oh, that person won a lottery. How wonderful. How happy he is. Suppose you also share in that happiness. Oh, I scored rank number 10. He is number 1. Instead of feeling jealous of that person, how would I feel if I scored number 1? Feel that. That's what he's feeling. So share that feeling. Congratulate the person. Yogi Shastra says, prescribes this fourfold attitude towards the four kinds of people that we come across in our daily life. Maitri, Mudita, Karuna, Upeksha. We come across people like us, similar to us. Maitri, friendliness. We come across people who are better than us, more accomplished than us. Usually there is jealousy. Instead of that, mudita. Be happy. Share in that happiness. Identify with that person. As far as wise person is concerned, he knows himself as self of all, therefore everybody's accomplishment, his accomplishment. But the otherwise person looks himself as an isolated small entity. Somebody's accomplishment is as though my own accomplishment. Mudita. When you come across someone who is more accomplished than you, in your perception anyway, he may not feel he is accomplished. You know, if you ask him, do you feel accomplished? He may not. He is comparing only somebody else and then feels the same way. Mudita, be happy. Share in the happiness. In fact, understand that I am the self of all. In reality, the self that he is the self that I am. And more I identify that way because it's a reality. Then you need not do anything to be happy. Anybody is happy, you are happy because you are in the self. And therefore, if you identify with that person and share in his happiness, the jealousy will go. So thus, this different kinds of what we call impure thoughts. Anger is impure thought. Anger. Because I am intolerant. I cannot tolerate something. Anger arises because of my intolerance. How can we like that? Because I have demand how things should be. When they are not what I expect them to be, what I demand them to be, I just blow up. Anger arises from intolerance. And therefore, tolerance. All right, that also is okay. That also can be. Compassion for the shortcomings of other people. I cannot tolerate other people's shortcomings. Don't you even know this much? You're so stupid, you're this. Okay. Be generous to the shortcomings of people also. In order thus to maintain the purity of the mind, it is necessary to be alert about the mind, the thoughts. Understand what's the cause of a given thought. Why does anger arise? What's the cause of jealousy? What's the cause of resentment? We should understand those things. And remove the cause. Because any thought is an effect. Like grass is the effect, the weeds are the effect of what is in the ground. If we simply remove it from the top, it will keep arising again and again. So some people talk of witness. I'm witnessing it, but that's not enough. Witnessing thought alone is not enough. Constantly resolving is also important. Witnessing is the first step, but not enough. Witnessing enables me to create a distance. Step back, a two-step response. Our Swamiji's formula, two-step response. The thought of jealousy arises. What is a one-step response? I am jealous. What is a two-step response? that this is a thought in the mind. I am not the mind. So what should I do with the thought? Neutralize it. You can say, of course, name dvesha rago, name lobha moho, mado naiva me naiva matsari bhava. A wise person says this. Dvesha raga, aversion, attachment are not mine. Name lobha moho, greed and delusion are not mine. Mado naiva me naiva matsari bhava, the pride or jealousy also are not mine. If that is clear to you, then do that Atma Anatma Viveka and then proceed. If I can really say that this is an Atma, I am not that. But mostly we are not able to say. Generally in a one-step response, as a thought arises, I habitually identify with the thought and judge myself. So first of all, create a distance that this is a thought. And decide the strategy, how to neutralize the thought. What's the cause of the thought? We took the example of jealousy, took the example of anger, and such impure thoughts are there. Understand the cause, remove the cause. Pratipaksha bhavana, deliberately adopt the position from the opposite standpoint. It's not a make-believe thing, it's not positive thinking, it's a proper thinking. In fact, these impulses arise reaction of because of improper thinking. Anger is a result of improper thinking. Jealousy is a result of improper thinking. And so what we want is proper thinking. Not positive thinking. But nothing wrong with positive thinking, it helps you do that. But then what is right is proper thinking. Inasmuch as proper thinking is able to resolve all problems, therefore that's the best way, best approach. Anapekshah, shuchihi, dakshah. One who is dakshah. Daksha means he is able. One who is capable of dealing with any situation says, pratyutpanneshu karyeshu sadyo yathavat pratipattum samarthah. Two things arise. Number one, when a situation arises, first thing is to understand the situation of what it is. When a situation or a problem arises, then the first step is to understand it properly. To understand and assess the situation properly also requires an objective mind. A mind that does not get disturbed. So create a distance from the situation. Do not judge yourself by the situation. If I do not judge myself by situation, then I can remain objective. Yes, situation. Otherwise, normally say, I am a failure. You know, when things they don't work out, I am a failure. I am no good. Often I judge myself first and then deal with the situation. But appreciate the situation without judging the self. Here is a situation which is favorable, unfavorable, conducive, non-conducive, success, failure, gain, loss. So when we are objective in a situation, then we can assess the situation properly. When I judge myself as failure, then I am not objective. I cannot judge the thing properly. That's the result is a failure. Action was performed, it did not yield the desired results. Oh, but I am no good, I am useless. Don't say that. As the Swami says, there is no such thing as a failure. All there is action and the result. Suppose you want to judge the result as a failure, suppose. Because the world has set certain criteria of what is success and what is failure, based on that, all right, that's a failure. But still there is no reason for you to declare that I am a failure. That's why something has failed, is it not so? You can say the expectation has failed. When you were performing an action, there was certain expectation. Based on that, we determine what is success. If the result is equal to or better than my expectation, we call it success. If the result is less or opposite to my expectation, we call it failure. No, that's our own, you know, arbitrary criteria, whatever they are. Suppose whatever criteria that have been set up, the result is just as a failure. Okay. You can say that my expectation has not succeeded. Or I'm no good. You're not. Your knowledge is limited. Accept that your knowledge is limited. And therefore, remain free from branding yourself in any situation. Do not brand yourself either as failure or a success also, because success also is branding. So without branding myself either a success or a failure, without connecting myself to the situation, without taking blame or taking credit, when I deal with the situation, I'm objective. Then I can assess the situation properly. Okay, this has happened. That's the reason. This is the reason. See, we did not take this into account, this, that, whatever the causes are. And then you can immediately determine your strategy of how to respond to the situation. So, daksha. Lord Krishna says here that bhakta, a devotee, is daksha. He is skilled. He is efficient. He is alert. He is capable. We generally think that all these fellows, all spiritual people are good for nothing, you know. Or usually good for nothing people go to spirituality. That's often an opinion. Or even if they are good, after they go they become good for nothing anyway. But that's not Lord Krishna's opinion. He's a daksha. He's alert. He's capable in dealing with any situation. Now don't make that demand upon yourself that you should be able to do this. That's again a demand on myself. Do what you can. Without judging, look, I'm supposed to be daksha, I'm not. I'm supposed to be capable because I'm a student of Vedanta, and look, I'm not capable. Don't worry. Student of Vedanta does not set any goals. Does not make any demands upon oneself. I should be capable, I should not be capable. I am what I am. My responsibility is to do the best I can, that's all. Karmanyavadikaraste, Lord Krishna says, you should take responsibility for what you do. So while I am doing things, I should be as dedicated to my action as I can. That's the reason why Lord Krishna says, once you decide on a particular course of action, take your time in determining what course of action you want to take. Take your time to decide. Have you decided? Then forget about everything. Then pay attention to action. Don't worry about what the outcome will be. Worry about it before starting the action. Worry about the outcome before starting the action. And decide the course of action that you consider is best. Having done that, now forget about everything. Forget about the outcome. Forget about anything. Only pay attention to what you have to do. Because even if you worry about the outcome, it's not going to change because you already have decided the course of action. Forget meaning that don't be worried about the outcome. Be concerned about what you need to do. So therefore, a wise person is not worried about unnecessary things. We are not sometimes alert because the mind is so distracted. Because so many unnecessary concerns are there. He is not concerned. What will people think? That's our problem. He doesn't have that problem. He doesn't need to be accepted by others. He doesn't need to be respected by others. He doesn't need to be praised by others. Because he is free from need. That is samsara. This need is samsara. That's called bondage. My need to be praised by others, to be accepted by others, to be approved by others, is samsara. And that need arises from branding myself inadequate. And that will not go simply by declaring myself inadequate, I have to become adequate. And that's what requires a total transformation in mind. But here the wise person is alert. He is a yogi. Yogi means one is alert to gather the person. In Swami's words, he is together as a person. The mind is not distracted. There are no conflicts. There are no jealousies. There is no anger. There is no resentment. No decision is made out of anger, resentment or jealousy. Is made out of what? For the well-being of everybody. In the beginning of this chapter we were told, Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha. A wise person is one who is devoted to the well-being of all the beings. He does not wish ill of anybody. He wishes well of everybody. Even of his enemy. Adveshta Sarabhutanam. He does not have hatred for anybody, not even those who hate him. That's a big thing. When somebody hates me, the first response is I hate him. But that response does not arise in his mind at all. Hatred doesn't come. Regardless of what the other person does. That shows purity of the heart. That shows purity of love. When love is there, hatred does not arise. So wise person just loves everybody, loves everything. Because self is love. You call it, you know, ananda is same as love. For a seeker, dakshaha. Like, become like him. He acts out of love, out of generosity, out of charity. Therefore his mind is always together. And therefore, he understands the situation of what it is and does what is the right thing to do. This is also a good lesson in management. Management requires self-management. If you manage yourself well, then you can manage others also well. The dakshaya means he can manage others well. When? Because he is a best self-manager. He is a yogi, together as a person. All his faculties are available. Difference between Lord Krishna and Arjuna is what? Arjuna also is a very capable person. But under circumstances, his capabilities are not manifest because his mind is clouded by grief and delusion. So one whose mind is free from grief, from fear, from delusion, from false expectations, that person is very realistic, very practical, very pragmatic. And so understand that just because we are the seekers of knowledge does not mean that we can justify any kind of sloppiness or again, don't put values and don't judge yourself, but at the same time, pursuit of this knowledge means pursuit of these values also brings about a state of mind where a person is very comfortable with the way things are. He is a non-reacting person. He does not react either with elation, as we said, no rishyati, na dveshti. His mind is objective. The way he can assess situation properly and respond to situation also properly. So two things are required. One is to understand things properly and then to have the proper response. This both things are said here by Shankaracharya. Pratipattavyeshu pratipattum, kartavyeshu kartum samartha. So what is to be understood, he understands properly. What is to be done, he does properly. Dakshaha udasinaha nakasyachit mitradehe paksham bhajate udasinaha. See, usually in our regional language, udasina is the one who is, what shall we say, who is sad. Udasina, sad. Udasina doesn't mean he is sad. Udasina is one who is neutral. Na kasyachit mitradehe paksham bhajate. Who does not take anybody's side. Even the friend or foe, he is objective. Normally, we take the side of our friend, even though the person may be wrong. Normally, we oppose an enemy, even though the person may be right. Because of our attachment. There is natural attachment for a friend, and natural aversion for an enemy. So more often than not, our attachment and aversions, they control our responses. We are hardly neutral. So, common example is, in a community feast, you know, these children are appointed to serve. And so when you, in those days, in the olden days, they used to serve ghee, you know, in those big, this kamandalu-like thing, you know. Poor ghee. Your friend comes, hey, how are you? You know. Automatically more ghee goes in that. You don't like somebody. So what is in your mind automatically reflects in the behavior. It's not that we deliberate to, you know, to favor this person or deliberate to be cruel to this person. It happens automatically. That I automatically hug somebody and I give a cold shoulder to somebody else. This is how all the time is going on. In our behavior also, when we meet each other, talk to each other, you know, where we go, where we avoid, avoiding people, giving them cold shoulder, or being partial to somebody. So partiality and cruelty. So raga dveshas, partiality and cruelty. Raga means attachment, makes me partial to the one I am attached to. Dvesha means aversion, makes me cruel to the one I have aversion for. It's a good idea to observe these things in our mind. And they are, in a subtle way they are there. And they work. And they change, control everything. If you don't pay attention, our raga dveshas will control things. So you have to pay attention. As the Swamiji says, these things will not happen automatically. We have to initiate this process. And we have to become very conscious of our own thoughts. Hey, look, I am now, this is my attachment that is controlling me. This is my aversion for this person. Wait a minute, I should not get controlled by my attachment and aversion. I should do what is appropriate, what is proper. But inasmuch as this person looks upon everybody as a self, the only one place attachment and aversion cannot be, that is for the self, by the way. There cannot be attachment or aversion for myself. I cannot be attached to my little finger and have aversion for a bigger finger or vice versa. Cannot, because it's all I. Oh, I love my earlobes, I hate this finger. That cannot happen. In self, there cannot be attachment or aversion. Attachment and aversion presupposes duality. Division, not division. Only when someone or something is looked upon as different from myself, then my mind judges that is favorable or unfavorable, helpful or hurtful. Whatever or whoever is judged as helpful is automatically a response of attachment. Whatever is judged as hurtful is automatically a response of aversion. So attachment and aversion are responses to my judgment. First of all, my mind judges. Helpful, hurtful. Favorable, unfavorable. Gain, loss. Likeable, dislikeable. My mind keeps putting stamps upon things. And then, attachment and aversion. And then action, partiality and cruelty. And if you don't pay attention, then what happens? These tendencies keep on becoming stronger. Unfortunately. These tendencies determine our thoughts, and because of identifying our thoughts, thoughts determine our behavior. And that behavior strengthens tendency. So tendency comes up again. Again brings about a thought, that again controls my behavior, that again strengthens the tendency. This is a vicious circle. Somewhere this circle has to be broken. That is by becoming alert. Recognizing my likes and dislikes. How I am sometimes favorable, how I am unjust. Nakasajit paksham bhajade. Wise person always takes the, if at all you have to take side of something, take the side of truth. On whatever side is true, that is where you are. Whether it's friend or a foe, it does not matter who that is. That's very tough. Because our friends, if they are not right, not to take their side is very painful. Everywhere politics is going on, everywhere, the whole world. Nobody is on the side of truth. They are always on the side of the people who are their friends, their relatives. And many other words are used for them, you know. So, how sad it is. And human being seems to find success only in justifying and fulfilling his likes and dislikes. He is a successful man who does this. He makes sure that what he wants happens and what does not want does not happen, by hook or crook. No, this is wrong. This is the wrong thing. It can never bring justice. It can never bring happiness. It can never bring peace. Well, forget about other people, but then our own self, as we said, udasinaha. Udasinaha. Ud means above, asinaha. You sit above. Meaning that you sit above the idea of friend and foe. Look upon them as human beings. You look upon them as Narayana, there is no question at all. If all better than that, if they are all yourself, then there is no question at all. But if nothing else, you look upon them as human beings. People who deserve the compassion, whether it is a friend or a foe. And that's how there is no partiality for a friend, no cruelty for a foe. Udasinaha. Because he is identified with the self. And therefore, to him, everything is equal. Gata vyatha. Vyatha means bhaya. Vyatha generally means also grief or sadness or unhappiness. But here, vyatha means bhaya. Gata vyatha. One is free from fear, fearlessness. That also is worth observing, how much fearful we are. It's worth observing how much fearful we are. And so much of what we do is determined by the fearfulness. All the time the need to protect myself. Fearfulness. What will others say? What will they think? The fear of being rejected, the fear of being insulted, the fear of death, etc. may be there, of course. Except that fear of death is always there. But that, more than that, fear in the day-to-day situation, the fear of failure, the fear of being insulted, the fear of being humiliated, the fear of being rejected, the fear of being insulted. These are all fears. I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be humiliated. Because we are not willing to face the unpleasant. Failure is unpleasant. Rejection is unpleasant. Non-acceptance unpleasant. Insult unpleasant. I don't want them. And therefore, by hook or crook, I have to make sure that I am not insulted. I am respected. I don't fail, that I succeed. And that's how I violate the values. So fear is a very basic feeling that human beings have. All living beings have. But other living beings have only fear of death, that's all. I don't think the birds are concerned about fear of insult and stuff like that. They don't have that kind of sensitivity. Not that they are better than us, they don't have that sensitivity. We are very sensitive, that's why so many other fears are there. Human being has pretty much created an environment where there is no fear from death. We are all secure, we have created the environment. Poor animals and birds don't have that. They live in nature, therefore they are open to attack from any side. There we look at the birds, constantly looking around. Animals, birds, all of them, always constantly under guard. We don't have to be. Because we have created an environment for ourselves, we need not be on our guard. Nowadays we have to be on our guard, I guess, you know, with this what, that car loaded with explosives in Times Square, I guess, people must be really scared now. But that's more an exception. But usually, we don't have to be afraid to be on our guard. We have created a social condition where we are pretty much safe. But still we are fearful. Fearful of, as I said, failure, of not being accepted, of not being respected. And so that fear is very much there. And that fear often governs my thoughts and behavior. Observe this. That's how Upanishad discusses moksha as fearlessness. Taittiriya Upanishad says, abhayam pratishtha vindate. The wise person gains abundance in fearlessness. So fearlessness is the nature of the self. Because when there is wholeness or completeness, there cannot, when there is non-duality, there can be no fear. As Upanishad says, dvitiyadvai bhayam bhavati. The fear arises only when there is a second one, different from myself. For a wise person who knows the truth, knows the self as one and non-dual, therefore, to him there can be no fear from myself. There cannot be fear from myself. But Swamiji, we feel afraid when we are alone. Whose fear is that? Then I am only by myself. No. I am afraid when I am alone because of the fear that somebody else may be there or may come. So fear is always from somebody else, who I look upon as different from myself and opposed to myself. Somebody need not, my friend need not cause fear. Somebody else, and who is antagonistic to me, or is inimical to me, and I keep imagining that world is like that. Gatavyata, the wise person has no fear. Fear of losing something. Fear of not be able to gain something. He has nothing to lose. He has nothing to gain. All our transactions are within every interaction within ourselves, we are always calculating, what am I to gain? Our Swamiji says, whenever anybody comes before me, my first response is, how can I be useful to this person? On the other hand, when somebody comes before me, my response is, how can I use this person? And so when I want to use somebody, all you want to extract something from others. Always want to, you know, all self-centered approach. There is a fear, self-centeredness arises from fear. So because of ignorance, a human being is basically a fearful being, insecure being. My insecurity, my fear governs everything that I do. And so, gatavyataha. Wise person has no fear because in his vision there is none other than the self. In our vision, what should we do? First of all, let us make a note of how fear governs many things that we do. How fear governs even a train of thought. How the way we think also is often governed by fear and insecurity. There is a built-in insecurity. Coming from unwillingness to accept unpleasant. Bhartruhari says, of course, wherever there is attachment, there is fear. Sage Bhartruhari said, attachment is the cause of fear. Bhoge roga bhayam. When there is attachment to pleasure, then there is always fear of disease. Even when you are attached and eating what you love, within that, there is a fear. I know my cholesterol, Swamiji, is more than, you know, the higher limit. Pizza is no good for me. So, some time ago, when President Obama's health, reports were published, and doctors cautioned him about some cholesterol. Otherwise, he seems to be a perfectly fit person. But so, his occasional what was it? Habit of grabbing a cheeseburger and ice cream and stuff like that. Slow down, stop it, give it up. So on one hand I'm eating cheeseburger because I love, inside I know cholesterol, calories and whatever. So attachment to pleasure brings about a fear of disease. And so on and so forth. There is a long list here. Bhoge rog bhayam, kule chuti bhayam. When there is an attachment to my kula, meaning my family lineage, that I belong to certain such noble lineage, always a fear I might do something which may not be becoming of me. Vitte nrupalad bhayam. Attachment to money brings about fear from king, or fear from internal revenue, whatever. Those days, whenever kings were in need, they will raid, they will go to a wealthy person and ask for money, you know, that's it. So wealthy person has a fear of king, you may snatch away my money. Maune dainya bhayam. When you're attached to silence, people may take you to be stupid. Or mane dainya bhayam. When you're very proud, then also there can be somebody who can humiliate you, humble you. Gune khala bhayam. Attachment to your virtues, there are always people who will criticize you. Thus, fear arises from attachment. We are attached to so many things. Attachment causes fear. Gatavyataha. Free from attachment, therefore, free from all the fears. Udasi no gatavyataha. No vyasa, no fear. Here an interesting explanation is given. Parai taritasya api gata vyatha bhayam asya iti. Here even if a person is beaten up by others, then also he doesn't have fear. No fear of being beaten up also. In doing what is right, if you are beaten up, no problem. Beaten up means what? Sometimes in doing right, if not physically, you can be beaten up in many ways. So very often we are afraid of doing what is right because of the consequences that will bring. Saying what is right, doing what is right, may displease some people, may bring their displeasure and therefore punishment from them, and by because of fear. When I take a second time, it's very delicious, you know. Otherwise, usually this kind of things are, they don't taste good. Gatavyatah sarvarambha parityagehi yomad bhaktah same priya. Okay, let us give some rest to the voice and we'll continue after the... Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha.